There are no guest speakers this week and no wardrobes to malfunction, we hope. Well, we are well into this sermon series, his last 24 hours that changed the world. And it's hard to believe that Easter is just 3 Sundays away. We started a few weeks ago with the Last Supper. And then the following week, we moved along with Jesus and the disciples to the garden. And last week, we followed along with Peter as he watched the Sanhedrin convict Jesus of heresy. This week, we moved to the mockery of a trial in front of Pilate. The Sanhedrin know by Roman law they are not allowed to execute Jesus. But they think they can manipulate the Romans into doing it for them. As we read in our scripture reading, Pilate questions Jesus. And finding no reason to convict him, the book of Luke tells us that Jesus was sent to Herod. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he had hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave no answer. The chief priest and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressed him in an elegant robe, and they sent him back to Pilate. So after being questioned by Pilate, Herod questions Jesus. He wants Jesus to perform a sideshow. Hey, I heard you're a pretty good magician. You got any tricks up the sleeve for me today? And after Jesus refuses to do nothing, he makes fun of Jesus. He dresses him up and sends him back to Pilate. Jesus returns to Pilate. Pilate again finds nothing wrong with him and thinks he's going to be clever to get out of this. I don't want to kill this guy, Jesus. He's got a lot of followers. So I'm going to put it on the people to free him. Because he doesn't want to get in trouble for freeing him. He doesn't want to upset the Sanhedrin. He doesn't want to upset anybody. He's the middle of the road guy. You know those people? I'm not going to make a decision. I'm just going to kind of ride right down the middle. So he thinks he's got an easy choice. Barabbas or Jesus. And the crowd, as we know, chooses Barabbas. And so to satisfy the crowd, Pilate hands Jesus over to be crucified. And this is not the first group of people who choose to reject Jesus in his last 24 hours. These people chose Barabbas over Jesus. But let's take a step backwards and look at the last 24 hours and all the people that had choices to make about Jesus. Judas. Judas didn't understand who Jesus is, and Judas chooses to betray him. The disciples fear what it takes to remain faithful at a critical moment, and they choose to abandon him. Peter is confronted about being a disciple 3 times, and each time he chooses to deny Jesus. The Sanhedrin feared who Jesus might be and chose to have him crucified. Pilate refused to even consider who Jesus was, and he chooses the will of a mob and orders him to be crucified. Now, most scholars believe Barabbas was known to be a rebel who was always stirring up trouble with the Romans. And this mob had a choice between a peaceful miracle worker or this rebel rouser who promised more trouble for the Romans. And rebels like Barabbas likely promised victory
Victory now through murder and revolt and whatever it takes.
And then on the other hand, they had Jesus who taught them to love their enemies, to turn the other cheek. And you see, the promise of Jesus was not for a better today. He never said kick the Romans out. But he said, I'm talking about a life after death. And the people have a choice. Chaos now and get rid of these Romans. Or this little peaceful guy and wait. And the people chose to live for now. They chose to follow what the world desired. We have this whole list of people who, for various reasons, make choices not to follow Jesus. But is that any different than what we see today? Each year, thousands of people who grew up in the church choose to betray Jesus by walking away from the church. Christians across this country, including our own denomination, routinely back down from taking a stance on issues and choose to abandon Christ in the face of adversity. And then we have some churches who go away to the opposite extreme. Some churches that have become so religious and so pious that they were like the Sanhedrin, and they choose their rituals over Jesus, and they call for hating groups of people, and through their own hypocrisy end up killing the church. Our government over the last several decades has taken several steps away from even acknowledging Jesus. The government heeds the will of special interest groups and has essentially killed the influence of Christ in our government. The people of our country choose to live for the ways of this world rather than the ways of Christ. Life is about choices. We all have choices. And the biggest choice is, where have we put our faith? When we look at our country, some experts believe we are seeing record inflation. Experts in other fields say that we're in the worst environmental crisis of the century, with fears of the drastic effects of global warming or climate change. I mean, just this morning, there was a news story about the cherry blossoms being ruined by climate change. And we have many other problems that abound in America. Every day, our news is full of controversies and tragedy. Politicians continue to blame each other for our problems, and they're ready to belittle any opposition at every step. We have war and political strife waging in Ukraine. Some people are worried if we're headed for another Great Depression, and whether or not a great economic depression is upon us. Just watch the nightly news, and you can at least say it's a depressing time. And if all of this was not depressing enough, we throw into the mix people already posturing for the next presidential election, both sides of the aisles pointing at each other and who's right and who's wrong, each side claiming to have the answers, right? We've got the answers to fix all your problems. And the question is, where have you chosen to put your faith? Who did you choose to put your faith in over the last few years? Well, across America, most of us are not choosing Christ. These statistics are according to Barna polling data from 2021, and they are scary. Less than 70% of Americans now identify as Christians. Other polls show it to be less than 65%. Now, mind you, 20 years ago, that statistic was over 80%. Next, less than 25% identify as practicing Christians. That was 45% 20 years ago. And this next slide is even the scariest. 21% of people in America now identify as atheist. That's up from 11% 20 years ago. These statistics indicate to me that Americans are choosing not to put their faith in God. Churches are no longer making disciples. Instead, we're bleeding people who are leaving the church and never coming back. Now, don't raise your hand, but think about this. How many of you chose to spend more time this past week watching or reading the news than you did praying and reading your Bible? How many of you chose to spend more time this week talking about March Madness than you did about Jesus? How much of your time did you spend talking about the weather, gas prices, and Ukraine? Versus how many of you openly talked about your faith in Jesus Christ? We all have choices every day, every week, on what we're going to do. And you see, we choose not to put our faith in God, and we end up worrying about all these other things, don't we? I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my grandchildren. What kind of world is this? What kind is this? What is this? How am I going to pay for gases and groceries? What about this? And what about that? And we choose not to put our faith in God, and we end up worrying about the wrong things. We're worried about a lot of stuff. But worrying about things is nothing new. It's human nature. Jesus dealt with worry. You guys have heard this verse from Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or weep or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Isn't that something we need to hear? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And Jesus goes on to say, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So then why do we worry? Why do we choose to put our faith in other things? Why don't we put our faith and trust in God? Because I'm here to tell you, if you really study the Bible has all the answers we need. We elect people in Washington to make up laws and social policies for us when the answers are right in the Bible. And if we follow the laws of God, we wouldn't need the laws of Washington. We would take their power away from them and give it back to God. The Bible teaches us how to borrow or lend money from each other. The Bible tells us how to treat the poor and the sick. And do you know how to become a great nation? How to receive blessings for God? The answers are right in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 15, 4 through 6. And tell me this doesn't apply to us. However, there need be no poor among you. For in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, He will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today.
For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you.
See, as God's people, God wants to bless us. Yet we try to take the matters into our own hands. And if we choose to put our faith in God and follow his commandments, he will bless us. I mean, in his own words, he says, you will lend to many nations but borrow from none. You will rule over many nations and none will rule over you. Does this sound like how we're operating today as God's people? We need to get back to choosing the teachings of the Bible and quit putting our faith into the ways of men. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like calling our politicians snakes? No offense, Danny. You are not alone. Jesus called the politicians of his days snakes and vipers. See, the Sanhedrin was made up of two primary political parties, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus was often at odds with these people because they had lost the real meaning and purpose of the law, which was to provide justice, mercy, and faith that would bring us into a right relationship with God. And they used the law to fill their pockets and control people. Ding, 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 ding. And if you want a picture of how Jesus felt about these religious political leaders, read Matthew chapter 23. In this chapter, Jesus condemns seven specific acts of the religious leaders. He calls them hypocrites six times, calls them blind four times, calls them snakes and a brood of vipers. Jesus accused them of doing things for show. He pointed how they loved making public appearances and getting the best seats and holding themselves in places of honor. Ding, ding, ding. And Jesus says, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but at the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're in. I'm not picking any of them. Because this sounds like a picture of our politicians, doesn't it? And why do we choose to put our faith in them? Think about the way things were for the longest time. Every orphanage was ran by the church. Schools were ran by the church. Hospitals were ran by the church. And I don't care what name you put on a hospital today, it doesn't mean that they're run by faith or run by God. They're run by profit. But we put our faith in other people than God to fix our problems. Jesus knew that all the religious leaders had made things too complicated. See, Jesus didn't come to take away the law, but he came, as he said in Matthew, to fulfill the law. And Jesus knew most of us would not get it. Because I can tell you, because I'm studying the book of Leviticus right now, the law is complicated. You had to have the right animal at the right time in the right place and the right blood and the right... Hard. If you're having problems going to sleep, pick up the book of Leviticus, I promise you. But when you learn it and you understand it, you get the richness of God's law. God's law is rich and powerful. But he summed it up into these two commandments. He said in Matthew 22, and this is quoting, he's quoting from Deuteronomy. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The second is love your neighbor as yourself.
And that second quote is from the book of Leviticus. So before you think it's boring, Jesus quoted from these books. You know, coming up in Ohio, we've got a Senate race and a governor's race. Before we know it, we're going to have a presidential race. And what is one promise every candidate promises to bring? They promise to bring change. Change. But you see, if we as Christians simply lived up to those two commandments, if we went out and lived out our Christian life, we could bring more change than any candidate could ever claim to give us. Do you understand that? You have more power to make real change than any elected official. And we, as this church, have more ability to affect the lives of this community and enrich people and surround them with love and meet the real needs than any other person. Life is about choices. What if we chose to put God first in our lives? What if we chose to love our neighbors and put their needs ahead of ours? We need to put our trust in Jesus and not in the world. So every day, you have a choice of how you will live. You could live for God, or you can live for yourself. But unless you're in a right relationship with God, it is only then when living for yourself is living for God. So this week, what will your choice be? Will you trust in Jesus?